Let's talk some basketball. NBA writer, Sporting News, Sean Devaney. We have a patriotic crisis on our hands here, Sean. How are you this morning?
I don't know what I stepped into here.
All right. So you were at the game last night. As much as anything else, I want your take, because damn if it was a football thing, it was some quarterback that went down last night and they brought him back into the game. Ooh, all hell would break loose. So LeBron James, he looks shaken. He's taken to the dressing room. He comes back in. What was your take on the LeBron concussion kind of thing there last night?
Yeah, they'll have to answer some questions about this. I'm sure the league will want to know exactly what went on, because there is, much like in the NFL, there is a, sort of a concussion protocol that guys are supposed to go through. Did the Cavaliers go through everything that they were supposed to? LeBron said they did. Of course he's going to say that. But I think the league will be looking into that. I think the league will want to know exactly what happened there, because LeBron did seem shaken up enough to pull himself out of a game, which is a rare thing, and bring himself into the locker room. And yet just minutes later, he's back. It doesn't seem like that was quite enough time to go through what you're supposed to go through in terms of checking for a concussion.
It's really tough, I think, in a lot of cities. And maybe I'd isolate Toronto in there. We just lost twice in the last 5 years, lost playoff series to the Bruins in 7 games. The Patriots basically feed everybody their lunch. And now the Celtics, they not only look back, Sean, but people... They're almost likable. People like this coach. They like the story of Al Horford signing there, and it looked like just an average signing at a certain point. And my God, I mean, for them to do this, you can imagine how it's sort of an indictment of Philadelphia's young growth. It's an indictment of Toronto last round if Boston wins this and wins this handily.
Yeah, I would say that the Celtics won't be likable for long when they get Kyrie Irving back, when they get Gordon Hayward back, and they've got all these, $25-30 million players that they've got. But this group, because this group was not supposed to be doing this.
No.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier is a great story. They've got a bunch of young guys who have really accelerated their growth and their confidence levels really in the last month and a half. We're just talking about since the playoffs started. This is a team that nearly lost to Milwaukee, don't forget. The difference between this team over the course of the playoffs and these young guys in particular, and in Al Horford, I would say as well, has been remarkable to watch, because it was certainly unexpected. The owner of the Celtics was on the radio yesterday and was asked about it, and he said, "Oh yeah, we didn't think we'd be going this far." And if you have an owner of the team saying something like that, that gives you an indication that this was a surprise even to the Celtics.
Well, we kept expecting that this Celtics team would do exactly that, but there was something about the Cavaliers that left wanting. I mean, going down the stretch, they didn't look like a team that was going to blast through. And yet, because of what they did to the Raptors, they kind of changed people's minds. How much of this is Celtics? How much of this is Cavaliers?
Yeah, I think you have to, obviously you don't want to take away from what the Celtics did, et cetera, but you look at that game last night, especially in the fourth quarter, the Cavaliers were a dumb, dumb team. I mean, they did some dumb things. I mean, first of all, you had the 6 turnovers in the fourth quarter. That was obviously costly. And then you have that play, J.R. Smith pushes Al Horford, with 4 minutes to go in a game that you're losing by 8 points, you just gave the Celtics 4 points. You took an 8-point game and made it a 12-point game. An 8-point game at that point, you're within striking distance. 12 points, all of a sudden, you have no margin of error for the rest of the way. That was a dumb play that J.R. Smith committed. And then you wonder, why was J.R. Smith out there at all? The guy was 0 for 7 from the field. Kyle Korver was doing much better in terms of the shooting, in terms of giving LeBron some offensive support. And yet Smith plays 26 minutes on an 0 for 27 night, and Kyle Korver plays 21 when he had, I think it was 13, 14 points. So I just thought that was mental failure after mental failure for the Cavaliers down the stretch.
It's just ripping up Toronto fans who watch J.R. Smith have games of 20 points, 15 points, and 15 points on a very efficient shooting tab as well against the Raptors. Tell us about tonight. I know a lot of people are saying That was the Rockets' best punch. Game one at home. They're rested. They're ready to go. That's as good as Houston could potentially play. I mean, Golden State is a... they're a dynasty, and they're awesome. They never get talked about enough for how they play defensively. Is this just going to be all on James Harden's back? Like, game one was almost Westbrook-esque with how he felt the need to get it all done himself. And I didn't blame him because I didn't know who else to trust on that Rockets team.
Yeah, I agree that that is pretty much, you know, you check all the boxes for what you were looking for from the Rockets. I think there are a few things they could do different. You know, Trevor Ariza did not spend a whole lot of time guarding Kevin Durant, and he's had a fair amount of success guarding Durant this year and over the course of his career. You know, it's all relative, of course, but he's done a pretty good job on Durant, and yet he guarded him, I think it was 7 possessions where you had, you know, P.J. Tucker was on him. I think it was 27 or 28 possessions. And you know, I think you need to see a lot more Trevor Ariza on Kevin Durant. I think that's an adjustment they can make. You'd like to see more from the bench. Obviously, you know, Eric Gordon was okay, but they really need him to be, you know, very, very efficient in the way he shoots. And they probably need another scorer off the bench, which wasn't there in game one. So I think there's some things that they can do better than what we saw in game one. And some of it is really, when you're playing the Warriors, it's crossing your fingers and just hoping that Klay Thompson isn't as hot as he was. If you're going to have Durant scoring 37, then you can't have you know Klay Thompson going off as well. So there's some things that can happen for the Rockets here to give them some hope.
Sporting News NBA writer Sean Devaney, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Okay, thank you guys.